Hi, welcome to Sacred Conversations with Vision Battlesword. This is an audio series created by me and by the Sacred Light spiritual community for our own benefit as well as for anyone else that might be interested to hear it. This represents a new kind of podcast or a new type of audio series that I call a community conversation. So I'll be talking with the Sacred Light spiritual community and we'll explore all types of topics from truth to philosophy, spirituality, consciousness, psychedelics, and many, many more. And the goal of this is just to explore reality, to explore truth, and to see what all of the different pieces and all the different perspectives are of reality that we can put together into an integration of an entirely new philosophy. So I hope you'll join me for this journey, and without further ado, here's our episode. Thanks.
Welcome back, Edgar. It has been a while. It's been a minute.
Almost a whole year.
Since we hung out, and since you did another conversation with me. The last time we got together, we talked about alchemy, which was, I actually have to say, one of the most popular episodes, as far as I can tell, just from the feedback from the community. People listened to it, people loved it, a lot of food for thought. So I can't wait to jump in and dig into whatever you've brought to the table to talk about today. I know you've got a specific word on your mind, and it's not a word that I know a lot about, and I'm really excited to explore it with you and kind of follow your lead. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
Well, who are you, Edgar Sanchez?
Right now, I am an explorer of the arcane. I love to practice techniques that help me embody higher or more expanded states of self-mastery that are more refined and align with what I am choosing to create for myself, for those around me, and for the world in ways that serve the greatest good of everyone and myself.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That was like very poetic, refined, and aligned. It's almost like you're like doing a little beat poetry riff there. That's awesome.
Oh, thank
man.
You.
Cool, brother. Mm-hmm. Well, you used the word. So what are we talking about today? You came here to have a conversation about the arcane. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure. I've used the word before. I've also used the word arcana, and I've experienced something called an arcana in a specific type of container. Maybe we'll get into that. But what is arcane? What is the arcane?
So the arcane comes from the Latin root word of like a secret or a box. And you could say it's like a box that has a secret or multiple secrets. So there's different versions of the word arcane in Latin, and some of them relate to how a certain piece of arcane knowledge is just a puzzle piece within a greater set of, I guess, arcanum or arcana. So the whole arcana of tarot, like each of the major arcana within tarot, is a different puzzle piece. Each card is a different puzzle piece. And when you put it all together, you can see the relationship between all the different symbols and how they interact with each other. So whenever you have two different major arcana together, you can learn more secrets in terms of how they relate with each other. So it's like layers and layers of secrets with different combinations. So just having two different major arcana together that you haven't explored, both of those being together in their relationship, already has so much information that you can explore within that. And then when you add three, you get like a different type of like combination of even more secrets that might be even deeper than if you were just working with two. So it's a field that is very deep in how much you can explore within that.
Wow. So everything you just said reminds me of our previous conversation about alchemy. Because when you start talking about these individual puzzle pieces of arcana, that when they're taken collectively or in combination, they have a multiplying effect, mm-hmm. or you know, an amplifying of effect of complexity. That reminds me of what we talked about last time with your theory of like holographic fractal codes in alchemy, right?
Yeah, and I was talking about that with the Hebrew letters, actually, now that I remember.
That's a kind of arcana in a way, isn't it?
Yes.
The Hebrew letters.
And you know what's interesting is that there's each Hebrew letter corresponds with each of the major arcana within tarot.
What?
Yeah.
Say more about that.
So, for example, the Fool corresponds to the Hebrew letter of Aleph. Or Aleph, I forget how it's pronounced. And that's the first Hebrew letter. And the Fool is also the first tarot, or it's number zero.
Okay, you're blowing my mind already. We're like 5 minutes into this thing.
Yeah.
So I've often, well, not often, over time, I've been coming to appreciate more and more how interesting the whole idea of cards, playing cards, the deck of cards, like, it's come to us as a kind of a gambling game in our culture. You know, the ace through king, numbered four suits and so forth. But this deck is synonymous with, or at the very least, like very closely related to the tarot deck, just sort of much more highly abstracted. You could use a deck of 52 quote unquote playing cards as an oracle.
Yeah.
There's a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're connecting all of that back to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Like, this is all part of the same fundamental system of arcana, of oracle, of encoding, of some kind of spiritual information.
Yeah, it's definitely all interrelated in a lot of ways, because they also correspond to the different paths within the tree of life in Kabbalah. Yeah, so then it goes into that type of depth. And the people who explored this, from my understanding, it was the Rosicrucians, specifically the Order of the Golden Dawn is a Rosicrucian order. And they did a lot of work on mapping out the tarot with the Hebrew letters. I think Aleister Crowley was involved in this as well, in the mapping of these things. And then it, like, each of the major arcana also correspond with planets and zodiac signs. So it's 9 planets plus 12 zodiac signs is 21. So that means that there's correspondence with the 21 Hebrew letters and the 21 major arcana as well.
Okay, this is wild.
Yeah.
So you're saying the Hebrew alphabet, which I'm just going to add another puzzle piece, right? Within the Hebrew alphabet, there's a system of numerology, or a system of even mathematics, if you will, as I understand it.
Yeah.
But the Hebrew alphabet, which can also be understood as numbers, equals the system of arcana in tarot, equals the system of arcana of what we might consider playing cards, and it equals astrology also?
Yes.
So is it your opinion that there's just kind of like one fundamental truth that's being expressed in a number of different ways through different systems in cultures and how we've come to understand it?
That's a really good question, because I would say that it depends on what layer of reality we're looking at. And what I mean by that is that, like, in a different galaxy, I think the way that archetypes are structured would be very different, or even in a different solar system within our galaxy, the constellations will be different. So they might not even have the constellation of Leo because they're in a different system. And so that means that the archetypes that function in their astrological systems will be fundamentally different, which means that the way that reality works on a narrative level can be very difficult for us to even comprehend or imagine, especially when it's a different galaxy. Because, like, the archetypes in a different galaxy, I think, could be so, so different. And also, like, the way the archetypes of our world are really centered around the sun and the moon. Like, there's so much perfection in how like stories in our past and even like fundamental archetypes in our consciousness as humans relate so much with sun and moon. And sun and moon are not like fundamental archetypes, I think, in other solar systems. So it's just like, it's kind of mind-boggling to go outside of that.
Understood. So obviously the specific planets and star mm-hmm. that is our most direct influence because of our local position and conditions here on this specific planet are unique to us. And of course, our perspective from our position in the galaxy is unique, is what it is, to your point. When we talk about constellations as these kind of patterns of the stars as they occur in our sky, they're only relevant from this particular position. If we were to move, you know, even just a few light years in any direction, they would start to change. They wouldn't look the same. We wouldn't be able to connect the dots in the same way that we do. So that point's very well taken. But the other pieces, so I guess what I'm trying to say is like, okay, taking as a given our position on this planet, now repeating my question, mm-hmm. like, is there some underlying or fundamental truth that's true here locally that's being expressed in all of these different ways through all of these different cultures, but then nonetheless traces its roots back to some core fundamental reality?
Yeah, I would say there is. And the reason why is I believe that is because I have studied different perspectives of esoteric knowledge. And one of them has come from this guy. His name on YouTube is Galahad Eridanus. And he has been a really wonderful inspiration for me. Highly recommend looking him up on YouTube. He has gone very deep on his own through the help of certain spirit guides of his to explore like what the fundamental nature of reality is, especially in relation to our world and how that relates to the Great Pyramids, for example, and what's going on astrologically in our times. And so he's explored that on his own and has also come to certain conclusions that has allowed him to be able to have an experience of reality where he is so in tune with the flow of the universe and synchronicity that it's almost like he has learned this skill to always have good luck, to always be at the right place at the right time. And even further than that, to explore what he calls secret passage theory, which is an ability to be able to listen to a certain series of hunches that creates a very, very unlikely result that's also very positive, in such a way that he describes it as being able to experience the top 1% of the highest and most beautiful positive outcomes of his day when he does follow the strange hunches. And it's like a series of strange hunches that leads him to, for example, go to a place that he wouldn't normally go to, but he's guided to go to that place. And it's like, why would I go to this like random spot in nature? And then something happens there that's very magical, that is like almost like a love letter from the universe to him personally. And it allows him to take that information and continue his development for spiritual growth and like what the main intention of his soul is doing its best to achieve. So that goes into like destiny or highest divine destiny, which is like experiencing the most fulfilling and soul satisfying life that also serves the greatest good of other people, which is my definition of destiny. And I think his definition is similar.
Wow. Well, okay. We've gone down a couple of rabbit trails here from the starting point. And I just want to kind of like return us back briefly to kind of put all of this other stuff in context. And coming back again to like the beginning, what is the arcane or what is arcana? Why do you think you've used the term esoteric knowledge, I think maybe, or you said esoteric wisdom. Why do you suppose this kind of esoteric knowledge or wisdom is arcane? Why are these secrets? Why did we take the big picture and cut it up with a jigsaw into all these puzzle pieces and scatter them around so that we have to find them and put them back together again?
Yeah, I love that question. Because to me, a great perspective to look at it from is that I believe that it's possible that the reason why arcane knowledge has been scattered around, or one of the reasons, is so that the entity that is the one consciousness that is perceiving through everyone's eyes simultaneously, this entity that you could also say it's our true self, wants to explore, learn, grow, and evolve through love. Like, there's something about how love is very fundamental and practical for the purposes of this entity, which is our true self, the one consciousness, great spirit. And there's some kind of like fun and joy that it experiences and that we experience simultaneously, because it's us, by putting together the different puzzle pieces of the arcane and unlocking new experiences that have never been experienced before. So novelty, there's like a desire for novelty, and it's a co-creation that it's doing with itself.
Okay. So we made the puzzle because it's fun, because we want to cut up the pieces and see if there's different ways we could put it back together again, or at the very least, like, go through the experience of hide and seek, if you will, finding that knowledge and that wisdom through new and unique life paths. Is that kind of the idea?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, it's that, and then it's also things that I'm not saying, because there's a mysterious aspect to it, where one of the things that I learned from psychedelics is that there's infinite perspectives, and all of them hold like a certain truth to them. And by anchoring into that truth, it shifts our experience of our reality. So the way I put it to myself in my own mind was that all beliefs are true and false simultaneously. And yet at the same time, some beliefs are more practical and empowering than other beliefs. And so what my intention is with exploring the arcane dimensions is to align myself in embodying more of the empowering beliefs that can serve my greatest good and the greatest good of other people.
Hmm. You mentioned the Rosicrucians, and a specific, I wanted to make sure I heard it correctly. Was it the Order of the Golden Dawn, DAWN?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you know about the Rosicrucian tradition and that relationship to the arcane?
Yeah, they're a hermetic tradition is one thing that I know about them. I think they're also known as the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. I don't know that much about them, but I know that they have certain basic practices that are seen in New Age spirituality as well. So they're kind of an origin point of a lot of spirituality, modern spirituality. What was the other part of the question?
Yeah, I was just curious to explore the Rosicrucian angle of everything you've been talking about with arcane esoteric wisdom and esoteric knowledge. And yeah, I think you're on the right track in terms of at least pointing back to the origins of Rosicrucianism, as well as many other wisdom traditions in Hermeticism, which, you know, goes back to this potentially mythical, potentially real character called Hermes Trismegistus, right? Which means thrice great or three times great, Hermes. You know, this guy who supposedly may have lived for hundreds of years and was a kind of a focal point of bringing this kind of arcane knowledge into the, I guess, it, not exactly into the mainstream, because I think this is where we come back to this idea of mystery and mystery schools and things like that, but at least kind of repopulating this wisdom among people, among humans, after it had been perhaps lost for thousands of years. And I think the Rosicrucian tradition is one of these mystery schools that claims to trace its origins back to Hermes, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And And what's interesting about the Order of the Golden Dawn too is that they, I believe, were one of the first esoteric orders that brought a lot of different types of spirituality and combined it, almost conglomerated all of it into a system. So they even had like Babylonian magic in their system, Egyptian. They combined so many different religious perspectives. I think they even combined some Eastern magic into their system. So for that reason, they're very interesting, I think. And, you know, Aleister Crowley, which is a character on his own where there's so much to say about him. He was originally part of the Order of the Golden Dawn and learned, I think, most of his knowledge from being with them. It was a big influence for him to be with them. And there was a point where, like, there was this wizard battle between him and one of the main people where that caused him to get disbanded, or like to get banned from the Order of the Golden Dawn at a certain point.
I didn't heard
that's
that
a whole story.
Story.
It's its own thing. I don't know that much about the story, but I thought it was, I heard it on a podcast and it was cool. It was very funny too.
And now someone else will hear this and think it's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I want to come back to arcane and that question of curiosity that I have about, like, why is it arcane? And I think we've been sort of dancing all around it, even in this discussion of Hermes Trismegistus and the Rosicrucians and all of these other sort of, like, there's another way you could call it, secret societies, right? As another term, or mystery schools. It's like the information is intentionally guarded. There's gatekeepers. There's an initiation is required to get access to it. That's what makes it arcane. And okay, sure. In the grand spiritual sense, the cosmic sense of a universal creator that is the source of all things, that chooses to fragment itself into individuations for the pleasure, the game, the sport of finding its way back together again and experiencing all of the infinite possibilities of an infinite number of perspectives. Fair. And is there some other reason that this information has been kept from us or has been lost by us intentionally or unintentionally? Does it seem like there's some kind of a secret code? Again, coming back to that idea of, like, the same basic information being encoded in all of these different forms, such as tarot cards and the Hebrew alphabet and somehow something related to the pattern of the stars in our sky. Does it all trace its origin back to some fundamental construct? And is there some reason why we forgot it, or it was forgotten for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that one of the reasons why it's secret, from my perspective, I think it relates more with being able to be on an expanded enough state of consciousness that's on a specific enough frequency to be able to understand the information in the first place. I think that's one of the reasons why it's kept secret, quote unquote, more out of, like, the way the universe works and how our minds, like, float in through it.
You're saying you don't suspect a conspiracy. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, there is conspiracy too, for sure. I'm also just talking about the direction that I've explored the arcane. It's like, I'm not in a magical order right now. I don't, if I was, I would say it and I would probably keep it, like, the name of it a secret, but I'm not even involved right now with a magical order. I'm just practicing magic on my own and exploring what the universe is guiding me towards and, like, the signs and reading them and really feeling into just, like, how mysterious it is. So that's the angle that I'm coming at it from.
Well, what's your method of exploration of the arcane?
Ooh, okay. So my method has been to develop relationship with spirits, with specific types of spirits that can open these kinds of doors. So
what spirits are we talking about?
Archangel Raziel is known as the secret of God, and is a, or at least that's what the name Raziel means.
Right. All of the archangel names kind of end with EL, which is the name for God.
Yeah.
Or it's, so they're all aspects of God, as I understand it. It's this of God, that of God. So Raziel is the secret of God.
Yeah, that's what Raziel means.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And Raziel is great for exploring arcane knowledge and mysteries. And so that archangel is an angel that can also help you build a bridge between other types of spirits that can teach you other things. And so one of the main reasons that, like, I've been able to, I guess, experience more access to arcane knowledge and information, like, that's been very secret, is because there's a specific spirit that I've worked with that Raziel helped me connect to, which I forget the name of it, but it comes from this book called Secret Angel Magic. And that book is, it's by this guy named Adam Blackthorne is his name. That's the author. The specific spirit is, it's called the Genius of Mysteries, I believe.
That's the name of the spirit itself?
Yeah, well, the name is, I forget the name for some reason, but it's like name and then Genius of Mysteries.
Got
like
it.
That. Yeah.
That's his title, Genius of Mysteries.
Yeah, genius. And there's like 84 genius spirits in it. And the genius spirits are like servitors that contain the frequencies and energies of about three angels. I think it's like one archangel and two other types of angels. So there's like a whole complex set of systems of magic where like people have been able to create servitors, which is what the genius spirits are. They're servitors. And a servitor is a spirit that's created by human. So it's like a thought form that has accumulated so much energy that it's solidified and has been able to just maintain its, you could say, its life, and became a spirit that's more like independent in a way.
I have so many questions.
Yeah. And
what is magic?
One of my favorite definitions of magic is actually by Aleister Crowley, where he said that magic is the art and science of causing change in conformity with the will.
The will creates change. That's magic.
Yeah, like through intention. Those are like really big themes in magic, where a lot of people say, for example, with manifestation, like I would say manifestation is a form of modern magic. It's causing change in conformity with the will. That's all it really is.
I would agree.
Yeah.
As I'm sure comes as no surprise to you. Have I ever shared with you? I think it's possible I have not. And in this moment, I'm really curious. Have I ever shared with you my formula of manifestation that developed through sacred light, through those years of ceremony?
No, I don't think you have.
I think I want to.
Okay, yeah.
Not right in the middle of this podcast.
Oh.
But soon. Because the words that you're bringing up, like will and intent, and I would add another word, which is desire.
Mm-hmm.
This is all like, yeah, it's just fascinating for my own awareness that I had not studied the arcane or magic or hermeticism or Rosicrucianism before creating Sacred Light.
Mm-hmm.
I knew we were doing magic.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing it intuitively. It was an outgrowth of my background in consulting, ultimately, combined with all of the psychology, spirituality, and philosophy that I have studied just as an autodidact throughout my life, and like kind of putting all those pieces together with a psychedelic experience and realizing we were actually manifesting stuff and like things are happening. And we're like, just like Aleister Crowley says, we are creating change through conforming to our will. But it was only after practicing it for 3 years that, well, maybe it was after the first two, that I really started to break it down. And then I started to become more intentional about noticing what was happening and then reverse engineering it into a theory that I created. I created a theoretical explanation for why the ceremony works, which I think just so happens to be identical to what magicians and manifestors and other highly spiritual people have been saying for, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all find our way back to the same place. But anyway, that's a segue from the main topic of conversation, which is, I've been curious about your exploration into the arcane and how you've been doing that on your own without, as you say, what did you call it? A magical group or a mystery school or some other, let's say, guide or mentor on your personal path. You're kind of guiding and mentoring yourself, which I think is really honorable and admirable. What are your areas of exploration or what are your sources for learning about the arcane?
Ooh, okay. So the books by the Gallery of Magic, which is a magical order, and they're somewhat like secret, but they also have a Patreon. Their intention is to share highly practical magic with the public because they want people to be able to experience living their best life and manifesting their best life as efficiently and effectively as possible. Most of the books are written by the author Damon Brand, and he is a very honorable person. From reading his books, he like wants the best for people, and I've been practicing the magic that he and the other authors share in their books for every single day for about over a year. So it's like a year and a month now. And the results have been phenomenal. I think that one of the things that I'm most grateful for is a specific ritual in his book called The Mystical Words of Power. And the ritual is called to bring forgiveness. And that one ritual has been so helpful for me in understanding relationships on a deeper level than I ever have. And not only that, it's like it's improved my relationships so that they're so much easier to navigate. There's so much more safety for myself and for the other person. And through having experienced a lot of pain in a certain romantic relationship that I was in a year ago, and using that ritual and combined with some other ones, I have not only influenced myself to forgive the other person, but also influenced them to forgive me through that ritual. And it was so beautiful because I gained so much wisdom and so did the other person, so that we evolved together because of that.
What's the ritual called?
To bring forgiveness, I believe.
To bring forgiveness.
Or bring forgiveness, something like that, yeah.
Wow. Just at a high level overview, how does it work?
So it's about identifying the desire, having clarity with that, then understanding like what's in the way, what the negative emotion is, and then scanning the letters while feeling the negative emotion first and really going deep with the negative emotion.
What do you mean scanning the letters?
The Hebrew letters.
Oh, the Hebrew letters.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because pretty much all of Damon Brand's magic involves utilizing the Hebrew letters to transmute negative emotions. And it's in the transmutation of the negative emotions that the manifestation becomes possible. Because after doing one round of scanning the letters while feeling the negative emotions of what happens if I don't get the result that I desire, I noticed that as I scan the letters, it's automatically transmuting and like my frequency is getting higher from the depths of the negativity. And then once I do a round, then I scan the letters by feeling what I deeply want, what my heart really desires from the ritual, which is, yeah, for me to feel forgiveness towards the other person, for example, or for them to forgive me, and experiencing the end result of that. So the feeling of the wish fulfilled, as Neville Goddard says. And then from there, reading the words of power once I completing the scan and then feeling that it's been done. It's like it's already here, and going about my day after that.
So you see, you've been practicing this specific ritual for over a year.
I have been practicing that ritual when it's necessary.
Mm, okay.
So I usually just only do it once for one specific situation, and that's enough. And every single time, like that specific ritual, for some reason for me, have the highest success rate mm-hmm. than a lot of other rituals.
But you're practicing rituals from this particular system every day for over a year.
Yeah. And I will say that there's one specific system that I've been practicing that I'm almost done with. And it comes from the book called Success Magic by Damon Brand.
How do you spell that? How do you spell his name?
Oh, Damon. And then Brand is Brand.
Got it. Thank you. Yeah. Success Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you've been working your way through that system for about a year.
Yeah.
Nice. And you've been having magical success, presumably.
Yes, absolutely. It's really beautiful and like really affirming towards my sense of confidence, where I feel a lot more relaxed in my capabilities. I have less doubt in my capabilities as well. And overall, my experience in relationships, all kinds of relationships, so it can be friendships, business, romantic, have improved in general.
Yeah, let me just share with you, you look and feel, like energetically speaking, like a completely different person than who I sat with a year ago.
Oh, wow.
when we had our previous conversation. And I don't mean that to to in any way throw like shade or shadow on your past self.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, like, you look great. That's like right now. So so if this is what you've been doing for the past year, I'm impressed. Let's just say, like, you just seem like you're in a very high vibe. You just seem like bigger. Like your energy is just bigger and stronger, and like you say, more confident. And you just look physically very well. I just want to say that.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's good to receive that feedback, especially since, we haven't seen each other in a while. Yeah, so it's good to hear. And also, I will say that I feel really grateful for my past self or past selves that have devoted to practicing the magic, because this is not just about self-mastery, it's also about self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And really love for the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of the rituals is to give the magic to the world after I receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with, really, it's only this specific book. Instead of using the Hebrew letters, it uses Enochian letters, which are similar to the Hebrew letters in the sense that they connect with angels in a similar way that the Hebrew letters do. It's just that for me, Enochian magic is also a higher frequency as well. I'm grateful that I've dedicated myself to practicing. So it's one ritual a week, and it's practiced every single day. And then moving on to the next. Oh, and also, once I receive the magic, I give it to the world. And so it kind of created a loop of that feels very Buddhist in nature, where they want the greatest good for all beings to be happy, healthy, free, and at peace.
Wow. Yeah, no, I've witnessed your dedication. I mean, that, like, what you were just saying makes sense to me. And again, I just, I find it to be very admirable that you've really stuck with it, and I know there's been some ups and downs, there's been some tough times and challenges, but your dedication to this path over this past 3 years or so that I've known you, it's like, you've been very, very consistent. And it's wonderful to see how a spiritual, like, dedication to a spiritual path and journey like you've been on pays off, and just witnessing, like, someone who is truly starting to receive the benefits of that devotion and consistency, But I've got like, I want to come back to the part where we were previously in the conversation where we're starting to get like super juicy. And I said, I've got so many questions.
Oh, yeah.
And because you had thrown several words out, and you were talking about spirits, and I want to come back to that.
Uh-huh.
And you started to put some words out like magic and manifestation and other things like this, and you're talking about this pantheon of spirits and archetypes and even aggregations of, you know, energy patterns that may encompass more than one angel and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess my first question on that whole piece is, when you say you're cultivating relationships with spirits, with individual spirits, what is that actually like for you? Does that feel like an imaginary friend that you get to talk to? I mean, how do you communicate? How do you receive signs or signals or messages or communication from spirits that you have this relationship with? Is it more abstract? Does it feel more like prayer, or does it feel more like the kind of relationship that you and me are having right now in these two chairs?
First, I want to say that I'm more clairsentient or sensory than my other senses. So when I intend to communicate with them, I usually feel them first before I see or hear anything.
How do you feel a spirit? How does that show up? Is it in your body somewhere, or is it in some other sense?
Yeah, I usually feel it through my chest, and it's kind of like chills, but it feels, like a very light and loving frequency. And then it's also, sometimes I do get visuals. And also what I mean by building a relationship is that the core frequency that helps build the relationship is gratitude. And this is something that I learned from this guy named Shaman Durek. The name is spelled D-U-R-E-K. He was, he has been a really great proxy mentor for me. And I learned his techniques in like 2022 a lot for building relationship with spirits. And he even says that shamanism, like he asked his students one time, what is shamanism? What do y'all think? And everyone gave like these different answers. He's like, no, it's very simple. Shamanism is all about relationships. It's all about building relationships. That's all it is. Your relationship with the plants around you, the relationship with the spirits around where you live, with your body, with your soul, your mind. It's all about building that relationship with these different aspects of reality and these different intelligences around you. So I took that and then combined that with my process of learning how to build a relationship with spirits, but also especially with human relationships. And so learning the different perspectives of building relationship with people and spirits has really helped me a lot in experiencing more gratitude in general. It's one of the biggest and best results that I've experienced from this practice. So,
What's the starting point for establishing a relationship with a spirit?
Establishing a relationship with a spirit, or even with a person, I use this trinity. I call it the trinity of beautiful relationships. And it goes, appreciation is the first state. So like coming from a place of appreciation for the curiosity that I feel for a specific spirit or a specific person, like appreciating the first things that I notice that inspire my curiosity. The second state is safety. So creating a sense of safety within myself and intending for the other person or the spirit to feel that as well for themselves and from me. And then the third state is playfulness. And playfulness is what creates the flexibility for navigating the situation of the dance of how the relationship will flow.
That feels really wise to me, to be honest about it. I want to drill into safety.
Mm-hmm.
How do you create safety? How do you create it in yourself? And then, I mean, I can see how creating it in yourself becomes an invitation for the other to experience it, to step into it. But it just seems to me, do you agree or disagree, that that's a big challenge that a lot of people have, is feeling safe and knowing how to create their own sense of safety. So like, what's your secret?
Yeah, I can share my secret for sure, because I actually teach this technique for creating safety in my workshops and in how I coach as well. It's called the Mother Tree Grounding Meditation. And the way it works is I tell people that within every area of land or forest, there's a tree it's assigned by the community of trees to become the mother tree. And the mother tree is the tree that holds space for all the trees and all the plants and all the humans and all the animals. So it's an intelligence that is open to holding space for people and spirits, and actually desires that and experiences a lot of enjoyment from doing that. So I guide people through a meditation where they can connect with the mother tree that resonates the most with their soul. It doesn't have to be the closest one, or it doesn't even have to be in the city. It can be somewhere on the other side of the world. What's more important is that the mother tree that they connect with is one that really aligns with them. And they inevitably feel a lot of nervous system regulation. So there's the activation of the parasympathetic nervous system to help relax them, calm them down. I even integrate techniques from neuroscience, such as the physiological sigh from Andrew Huberman, and also this technique called havening that this guy named Paul McKenna talks about. He's a hypnotist. And these have been studied scientifically and have been shown to really relax the nervous system. So I integrate those techniques into the Mother Tree guided meditation. And so I also use a subjective units of distress, for example, to like from a scale of 1 to 10 to see like where someone is in terms of nervous system activation of the sympathetic nervous system, so that they can switch into parasympathetic. And so I'm able to measure how drastic the change is. And usually it's a very positive, drastic change into more parasympathetic after I guide them through the technique.
Huh. That's amazing. You've got such a structured formula for like,
yeah.
Well, Vision, you'd like to know how to create safety. I can tell you. Here it is. So, yeah. So pulling back up a couple of levels, mm-hmm. We were talking about the Trinity of Beautiful Relationships, because the question was, how do you establish or build a relationship with a spirit? So mm-hmm. You related it to how you would build relationship with a human person. So is that the same? It starts with creating a sense of safety in yourself. And it starts with cultivating a sense of appreciation and curiosity for that entity that you'd like to build a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And then opening I don't want to use the word spirit again, opening an invitation to playfulness.
Yeah.
That's what you do with Raziel and other spirits?
Mostly subconsciously, because of how much I practice it with people. And so I've gotten into the flow with being able to step into those states through my intention. And I will say that the way it works in terms of communication from the hypnosis perspective, because I got certified in hypnosis, they have this concept called pacing and leading. And pacing is about creating and building rapport with the other person. And that can be done through the appreciation and the safety. And that a lot of the times involves activating mirror neurons with the other person. So then the wavelengths between two people start to synchronize, especially from the heart level. And that's where it's the most potent. It's when the connection is at a heart level. And so the heartbeats even synchronize as well. And then from there, leading is about guiding the other person to the state that you would want them to be in. And playfulness is a great resource state or emotional state to guide them there. So usually it's subtle, and the playfulness is for flexibility and having fun with the experience in such a way that they're also invited to have fun with exploring with you as you guide them.
Do you think people are having relationship with spirits and they're not necessarily even fully aware of it?
Definitely. Yeah.
What does that look like, do you think?
It looks like inner conflict within people.
Mm.
One part of them wants to go on vacation. Another part of them wants to save money, for example. And then there could be like other complexities within that. But I would say that the different parts are different quote-unquote spirits that are informing them different types of information. And so when the person is able to engage with those different parts, those different, you could say, spirits, which are just really aspects of ourself, and create a positive relationship of being open to hearing both sides and mediating, then yeah, positive results can happen from doing that. And this is in a cutting edge form of psychology, which you probably are aware of. It's called parts work or ego states, or there's also internal family systems, and they're all just different terms for the same phenomenon.
Did I hear you just say that spirits are really just parts of ourself or aspects?
So I would say that it comes from the idea that everything is one to start. Then there's the aspect of how spirit means is the same thing as consciousness to me. And
we talked about this during alchemy, I remember.
Yeah,
We explored the word spirit. I remember that now.
Mm-hmm. So,
but you were just tying it back to psychology. So I'm curious how literal you think that connection is, or if you were just speaking more metaphorically when you said that. Because when you're talking about, I asked you, is it possible that we're having relationships with spirits, but that we're not fully conscious of it or aware of it or intentional with it? You said, oh yeah, absolutely. Like when you're having an inner conflict with yourself. And then you started describing this scenario that kind of reminded me of that old cartoon where you might see the person who has a devil on one little tiny devil on one shoulder and a little tiny angel on the other. And they're whispering, you know, two different things in the person's ears. And that was sort of the visual image that was coming up for me when you were talking about that inner conflict. But then you said, so these spirits are really just aspects of ourselves. And I'm curious if that's how you think of it, or if that was more of a metaphor or an analogy to something. Meaning, like, do you think that what we think of as spirits are really just, let's say, psychological phenomena that we use these ideas of archetypes, of angels, of externalizing in some way this personality, but that's actually a tool or a technology for how we're really programming ourselves in a way. What do you think about that?
I think you're spot on.
Okay.
With especially the aspect of how we externalize the concept of angels, when really, and angels and demons equally, when really, yeah, they are more archetypal in nature. And while they do have their own quote unquote separate consciousness, in the sense that their consciousness a lot of the times feels very different from our normal consciousness if we were to embody their consciousness. And I say that because I had my own experience of invoking Razia in such a way that, what I mean by invoking is where the whole consciousness of Raziel replaced my regular state of consciousness. And it was like I was looking from the perspective of a different, not only like person, but it's like, yeah, a whole different, almost like an alien entity. And it felt very loving too. And it was just like very unique and weird and consciousness expanding to experience that. Yeah.
That's wild. And do you think that consciousness, that alien consciousness, came from inside you or outside you? Or does the question have no meaning?
Well, I would say I felt closer to divinity. It's kind of in the name of the angels too. I was it felt very, very childlike and playful to embody Raziel's consciousness. And then there was also, I could hear Raziel's voice like very clearly. And it had a childlike,
specific sound to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was wild. Yeah. I'm also very rarely clairaudient. Like I usually don't hear psychic phenomenon, more clairsentient and cognizant, which mm-hmm. is like just knowing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with Raziel, like I had a whole conversation as well. And he told me like how this technique of pathworking works, which is where you visualize a series of images to connect with a specific spirit, like why that works. And it works like a key system, like where the different teeth of the key going through the different springs are like the different images. And then once you get to the last one, you can turn the key and you unlock connection with the other spirit. And that was all of that I just shared came directly from asking Raziel, like, how does pathworking work? And he just gave me the visual and in a very multidimensional way where my consciousness was very expanded to be able to understand that. It was wild.
How did you achieve the state of mind or awareness to connect with Raziel?
So I wasn't intentionally trying to have that experience. It just kind of happened after it was within this, it was called trance magic. So it was this video and auditory like sigils through a video. And it was about, I think, healing trauma or getting rid of addictions. And Raziel was one of the three angels that were called in by the people who created the video, which was actually the Gallery of Magic. And so Damon Brand's voice was there guiding it. And when they would call the angels, it was very like bizarre in a way that I could feel the essence of the power of how they were calling in the angels through to help heal the trauma or clear the addiction. And so whenever they called Raziel, like there was an immediate like experience of feeling the presence of Raziel flowing through into my consciousness. And I was like, I was looking through the eyes of Raziel, I felt like, while being in this body.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you telling me right now is that a person can access transcendental, spiritual, or spiritually connected trance-like states through YouTube videos?
Oh, this was not a YouTube video. It was, I bought it. It was like $20 on Patreon, in the Gallery of Magic Patreon.
Okay, but videos on the internet.
And yeah, the internet. Yeah. So.
Wow.
They encoded in like visual, like some kind of, what is it called? They use like sound sigils. So like the sigils were encoded through the sound of the video. And then it was also visual in the sense that it was through the video, like the sigils would shift. And so there was like different intentions they encoded into it. I don't even know how they did that. They're very good at what they do, because I was able to have that profound experience. So wild.
It is wild. You know, it occurs to me now, there have been from time to time, some people have sent me videos suggesting that, man, you got to watch this. It's going to blow your mind, like literally blow your mind. Like it's going to put you into a psychedelic state. And I mean, like, I'm going to pass on that. Not because I don't believe you, but because I think I kind of do believe you.
Right. Yeah.
But like, boy, I mean, is there any part of you, or can you imagine anyone being a little frightened of like, ooh, I hope I don't watch the wrong video, right?
Yeah.
Like the wrong frequency or the wrong program or something. That's wild. But I'm really happy that you had that amazing experience. And that's just a really incredible story.
Thank you. Yeah. That experience was actually about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had an experience like that with another angel or even with Raziel since then, mostly because it's not something that I am looking for, because it was really intense. And also, like, while I do really appreciate that experience, I'm just focused on other things.
What is an archetype?
What is an archetype?
Yeah, you've used the word a few times in that conversation. I'm just curious what it is.
Yeah, I would say an archetype is, from what I remember Carl Jung's definition of archetype, a pattern that we can embody that has a specific like energy frequency to it and also an intelligence behind it that can merge with our own intelligence. I think he said something along those lines. I believe that it's similar to what I'm describing.
Mm-hmm.
At a more fundamental level, it's not an image. It's more of a pattern that we can experience directly. I really like that definition so much that that's my own definition for it.
Mm-hmm. I think in the kind of like Western secular scientific mindset, an archetype is really thought of as just kind of like a character template, if you will. It's kind of like a generic character that seems to be sort of a recurring, let's say, stereotype or a model, a kind of repeatable persona.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spiritual sense, it sounds like when we talk about archetypes, what we're talking about is something more like, as you say, a kind of a disembodied pattern of energy and information that represents a consciousness or an intelligence that sort of like a, well, it's like a spirit. It's like a universal character, but not in the literary sense, not in the literary sense, but in the literal sense, in this, like, as we say, the fool, the king, the queen, these different models or personas from Tarot or other mythologies. I think the idea of an archetype, as you're explaining it, is that these templates, so to speak, are actually present with us in the collective consciousness. Mm-hmm. And we can tap into them. We can maybe even embody them, or maybe they could embody us. Is that kind of the idea?
That is exactly it. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not just, you said it's not as much the literary sense. It's more like literal sense. I would say it's both, actually, because our life exists as a story. And so from the perspective of other people or even other entities who are observing the play that is happening here on Earth, yeah, it's all a story, really. And so the reality of our life, I think, is very not real to other perspectives, where they might be experiencing like a greater degree of lucidity, for example. And by other perspectives, it could be like alien perspectives or perspectives of other types of entities here on Earth that we're not aware of, that have a higher or more expanded state of consciousness. And I think a lot of the times they could see our life as just the way that we would see a cartoon story, where it's not that real. It exists more in a figment of the imagination of another person. So it's all relative in that kind of sense. And this is something that is talked about in Carlos Castaneda as well,
mm-hmm.
By Don Juan, his mentor.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, once again, why is this information arcane? Why are there so few of us that seem to be coming aware of it, let's just say, as compared to the vast majority who seem to exist more in the three-dimensional world of stuff and things and, I guess, the seen, the sensed, as compared to the unseen or the perceived through altered states? The spiritual world in general, or you've also used the word dimensions, the world of magic. There's all different ways we can call it. You use the word lucid or lucidity as well, which I think is a really interesting word, especially like going all the way back to the very beginning of our conversation, talking about lucid dreams or going to a party that's themed on the idea of lucid dreams. Mm-hmm. You called in the reference to the dream world of Carlos Castaneda, which is, of course, at least as real, if not more real, within the scope of that literary context as the world of material things, let's just say. So why the secret? why the mystery? Does there come a point where all is known, all is revealed? Or is this like kind of part of the game, part of the play, the program, that there's always a point to keeping it hidden until such time as it is discovered through a process, through an initiation, through, as you say, figuring out how to put that key in the right spot and turn it, and then the mystery is revealed. What's your thought on that? The whole idea of the arcane.
You said something about, is there a point where it's all revealed, or is it that there's a progression of discovering different secrets and of the puzzle piece of reality? I would say that it's both. And the quote that came to my mind comes from a friend I felt inspired by, and also I've heard it another time, and someone very deep into esoteric knowledge was sharing this, actually I think it was Galahad Eridanus. They say that in the beginning was the end, and in the end was the beginning. And they're talking about the whole story of the whole universe. And with that said, I think that in relation to how I see the arcane as well from a bigger perspective, is that I do love to think in terms of yin and yang, and how this concept of duality is also in the Toltec system in the form of the tonal and the nahual. The tonal being the yang, what is apparent to awareness and consciousness, and the nahual being what is hidden, what is not present to conscious awareness. They also correspond in that, of course, to waking and dreaming, the nahual being dreaming, of course. With that being said, I will say that like the yang corresponds with the Native American term of great spirit. So that's the great light of awareness that permeates everything. And then they also had this concept of great mystery, which is, you could say, the great void or darkness that permeates everything.
In the yang, the spirit, the light, is the masculine.
Yeah.
And the yin, the great mystery, and the darkness is the feminine.
Yes. Yeah. And so how this relates to the arcane is that the secrets exist within, of course, the mystery. And the mystery is that which is, you could say, irrational, chaotic, and it can be scary to explore the depths of the dark sea that is the great feminine, the great mystery. And so this also corresponds to this quote by Joseph Campbell, that where he said that the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure or treasures that you're seeking. So it relates to going into the darkness and into, yeah, the caves of darkness where there might be dragons and monsters and scary things, which is really a metaphor facing your own shadows and demons that you're not really aware of right now, but that you can become aware of. And realizing that the shadows and demons, they might have gifts in their own heart, that when you build a relationship with them, you can be able to access their archetype. For example, the shadow of violence, or there's different types of shadows of violence. There's different types of aspects of violence within ourself that are metaphorically represented to our consciousness as demons, where if we were to build a relationship with them through the trinity of beautiful, or I would also call it the trinity of harmonious relationships, by doing that, I've been able to embody like really, really scary archetypes that I can utilize when I want to protect myself, or especially want to protect those that I love. I can embody them and be very like sharp and create boundaries where necessary with more power, and to be scary to the people who are trying to do things that are not good towards myself or others.
Huh. So what I'm hearing you saying is that the mystery is both necessary and inevitable, because there has to be a balance between the light and the darkness, the known and the unknown or the yet to be discovered, the waking life and the dream world, the tunnel and the Nagual.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's integral.
Hmm.
I think it's a great term because integral comes from the root word of inter or integer, relates to integer, which corresponds to the concept of wholeness. And that's what integration is about, is like to come back into wholeness, to bring something back into wholeness.
What is it that motivates you, or that, how did you get started on your path to exploring the arcane, and what is it that keeps drawing you back to it?
Okay. So I kind of forget, because there's like different moments in my life where I would choose to explore this, but I would say that the desire came from choosing a better life for myself, and knowing that it is possible because I have had really beautiful and ecstatic experiences that were really meaningful to me and other people. So with that as my background, while I was in a dark pit of rock bottom in 2023, I chose to do my best to help myself get out of it by creating stories with ChatGPT, actually, where I intentionally used metaphors to shift the workings of my subconscious mind to be in a more empowered state. And I did that by like asking ChatGPT. When I first started working with ChatGPT, I asked ChatGPT, what are the most empowering beliefs that we can have as humans? And then it gave me a set of 7 of them. And then I asked it to create metaphors out of those 7 archetypes. And then after it gave me metaphors, I asked it to create a story out of those metaphors that would mirror the story of me like being able to overcome my challenges. And that's a little bit about how I started it. I knew it was like a form of magic to reprogram my subconscious mind.
Hmm. What else is on your mind?
The other thing that's on my mind actually is what I'm extremely grateful for, which is appreciation I feel for women in general, especially how much appreciation I feel for myself too after doing a specific magic ritual that helped me to permanently increase my ability to see the beauty in the world, see the beauty in nature, in people, and women especially. Like, it just opened me up so much, and I was able to access transcendent states of awareness that ultimately helped me so much in experiencing so much support, in giving support to women and receiving it as well. Like, one of my favorite things is empowering people and to step into the best versions of themselves, that where they are able to manifest a life that it feels very satisfying and fulfilling for them. And that doing that is just really satisfying and fulfilling for me. And another thing that I wanted to mention too is that after every beautiful romantic relationship that I experience, I feel like it increases my passion and devotion to being of service to the beauty in my soul and the soul of the people who I love.
Man, that's awesome. Does that kind of wisdom or that type of emotion that you've accessed through your romantic development and relationships with women and with the feminine in general, does that feel like a kind of arcane mystery that's starting to be revealed?
Yes, for sure. Because the gifts in what I've been able to receive and how helpful it has been for me, it reminds me of 2 experiences that were very similar that I've had, where in the presence of beautiful women that I've been in love with, I experienced a very transcendent, powerful state or spiritual experience where it felt like I opened a portal to the kingdom of heaven, and I was able to receive all the treasures from the kingdom of heaven. Like, I had access to all of them. Like, I had everything, basically. Not just everything, but the best of everything. And from that state, I felt like I couldn't help but want to give back to the world, because like I wanted to share this with people. It would be so fun to share this this type of appreciation with the world, and it's something that my soul is moving forward with passion. And the passion a lot of the times comes from feeling the pain that people go through, that women go through, the people that I love go through, that is toxic, that where they have been hurt really deeply by other people. And it's like, I just feel like, fuck that shit. Like I know they deserve better. And so, yeah, it makes me angry and sad. And so I'm grateful that I do feel anger and sadness, because it just fuels my sense of purpose.
Yeah, I feel you on that too. And I can relate to that Kingdom of Heaven experience.
Nice.
I also have had mind-blowing sex like that. I'm just kidding. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I also have had a deeply spiritual relationship like that, that really showed me how beautiful a sacred union can be, and can and how, what kind of doors it can unlock.
Yeah,
for people, men and women both. It's a great mystery. It's something very special that we're gifted with in this earth game, virtual reality that we get to play with.
Yes.
What do you think about that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And my perspective is that the best solution for this is to create an awareness of miracles. And what those are. My definition of miracles is that miracles are experiences that awaken us spiritually in the places within ourselves where we once believed that fear was more real than love. And that fear that I'm talking about relates to the core of the traumas that they have experienced, or that we have experienced within ourselves. And I actually, in terms of arcane, I actually received a symbol or spirit animal, really, that embodies the concept of miracles very powerfully. And it came to me very lucidly in a very like ineffable way, where I'll say that the animal is the blue morpho butterfly. It's the specific butterfly, the blue morpho. And it came to me in this vision where I was in a place where we were going to do a meditation to discover our spirit animal. And before the meditation or even the class even began, the blue morpho just came to me, and it was huge, and like went into my body and gave me all this information that it didn't come in the form of English, but it was very intelligent, and it was telling me a lot of things on different levels, multidimensionally. I started to realize over time that it came to me to help me serve the purpose of helping manifest miracles for myself and for others and for the world. What the shamans of the rainforest say about the blue morpho is that it's because it's very rare and precious in their minds and in the spirit world, it helps with granting wishes that are deeply, deeply healing. It's almost like the trauma becomes the cocoon that the blue morpho influences, and from that it emerges, in the sense that, like, I think the butterflies in general are the phoenixes of the bug world. They emerge from the deepest darkness. And I don't know exactly why it's like the blue morpho specifically, but it does hold a deep resonance for me. And I even got the symbol. I even saw the symbol yesterday on Instagram a little bit. And then also even before that, when I was having a beautiful intimate experience, I had a glimmer of the blue morpho coming in. And this was like only like 2 days before that. So it was just like, it was making itself very apparent to me. And then now it's in this conversation. So.
That's a beautiful image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've called on this spirit animal to help people, and every time I've done it, I've seen results, miraculous results in them experiencing some form of healing where I don't even have to say anything to the other person. It's almost like it just happens on its own. It's a manifestation intention, and the blue morpho is a spirit that what it loves to do and is very good at it.
Hmm. What is a miracle?
A miracle, they are experiences where we feel they are unexpected. They feel very rare. And we end up feeling a lot of gratitude and relief from realizing that love was always more real than fear, especially in those places where we feel like a lot of self-doubt or a lot of trauma and in pain, where we're essentially unconscious in certain ways. Miracles bring conscious awareness in a very beautiful and healing way to those parts of ourself, so that we can be more wise, loving, and powerful in the world.
I heard something on the Dark Horse podcast recently with Brett Weinstein, a phrase that I wrote down and I want to explore more, which is that love, because I'm always curious to define words, as you know, but love in particular, I've, you know, had a lot of different ways of trying to define it. Brett Weinstein said, love is the experience of extending your sense of self to include another person.
Mm.
And I thought that was really interesting and beautiful. Thanks so much for this conversation, Edgar. This was really fascinating. And I think we opened, like you said, a lot of different doors to a follow-on conversation.
Yeah.
That I would be really excited to explore with you. Don't be a stranger and, you know, come back, you know,
sure.
Come back sooner than a year next time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Roger that. Any final thoughts or words you want to close it out with?
If you're listening to this,
you are the resistance. No, sorry.
You
ahead.
Are the resistance. Then I want you to know that if your dreams for living your best life that is deeply soulful and satisfying on every level don't scare you, if those dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Some final tie-in there between love and fear.
Yeah.
That tension that, like, we may say that fear is not as real as love, but somehow the two create the constructive tension of this whole reality, I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and it creates more adventure and wonder that the more we embody it, the more it can inspire other people to step into more power, because we already, those of us listening to this, I think we already have a lot of wisdom and love. Now it's a matter of accumulating more power to serve the greatest good, to serve our greatest good and the greatest good of everyone.
I can't say it better than that.
Yeah.
That was perfect. Thank you so much, Edgar. Can't wait till the next time we talk.
Likewise.
Thanks for joining me for this sacred conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And don't forget that the conversation can always continue. We can build on a topic that we've already talked about, and we can also start new topics and see how they all weave together. And that's just the exciting thing about this whole journey of exploration, is we don't know where it's going to go, but I'm really excited to find out with you. Please don't be shy to reach out and schedule your sacred conversation on whatever topic is interesting to you. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to talking with you soon.